a paddleboard instructor in Taiwan captured some rather remarkable footage of a sizable mystery creature that suddenly appeared near him in the water. According to a local media report, the wild encounter occurred earlier this month at a location known as Sun Moon Lake, as Lai Yongli was teaching a pair of tourists. During the lesson, he noticed that something seemingly out of the ordinary had emerged from the depths of the water and was lurking near the surface. Intrigued by the puzzling sight, Yongli paddled over to it and was left astounded by what he saw. Captured on video by the man, the oddity in question was a monstrous fish measuring around 6.5 feet long. Yongli decided the length of the creature by observing that it was more than double the size of his 3-foot-long paddleboard. Thanks to the miracle of modern technology, the instructor was able to capture some fantastic footage of the wondrous sight. The video, which puts the average Nessie sighting to shame by virtue of just how close the man was able to get to the creature before it swam away, shows a long fish sporting what appear to be white fins. You can check out the video for yourself in the highlight carousel up at coasttocoastam.com. And if you'd like to keep track of what I'm doing, or you want more information on some of my other projects, just visit my website, strangeplanet.ca. You can learn about my weekly syndicated radio program, Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, my daily afternoon drive show, The Richard Serrett Show, heard on Saga 960 AM, or you can stream it live at saga960am.ca. I also have a podcast that drops 3 days a week called Conspiracy Unlimited, a YouTube channel, a Strange Planet merch shop, and a free monthly newsletter. And you can find them all at strangeplanet.ca, strangeplanet.ca. Back to the mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood when Coast to Coast AM continues. We are back with Todd Wood and Walter Bosley, co-authors of The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood. And Lockwood, of course, the obscure 19th century writer who penned, well, three novels in particular that have really captured the imagination of so many, particularly since the election of Donald Trump back in 2016, because of the parallels between these novels written again in the 1880s and 1890s and the actual life of Donald Trump, particularly his son Barron. And again, one of the mysteries in this is the uncanny likeness of the character Barron Trump in the book of Ingersoll Lockwood to President Trump's son, and particularly the illustration of the character Barron Trump and its uncanny likeness to Barron Trump. So we need to talk about the illustrator, Charles Howard Johnson, who may be more mysterious than Ingersoll Lockwood. What do we know about Charles Howard Johnson?
You want me to take that one, Todd?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. Charles Howard Johnson, because of the drawings he did that are so remarkably close to the features of Donald Trump's youngest son at the time Donald was elected, out of all the people that we know were in Lockwood's life, Charles Howard Johnson has to be the number one suspect we look at as far as how could Lockwood have known the future one way or the other than, you know, the situation we discussed before where if Donald Trump just happened to have read the books. If that wasn't the case, how did Johnson know what Trump's son was going to look like? Well, Charles Howard Johnson himself was a big mystery. He might have been born in 1867 or 1868, but no one in his lifetime who knew him in New York could be certain. He might have been supposedly born in Kansas City, but that was never confirmed. He claimed to have gone to art school for a year in Cincinnati, Ohio, but again, his colleagues and anyone who did know him that could have been asked, they never confirmed that. He just shows up in New York in 1889. He's a talented illustrator, pretty quickly finds employment with the magazines and newspapers of the day, and then begins to illustrate for various publishers. And this is how he must have come to cross paths with Ingersoll Lockwood. was as an illustrator when Lockwood, of course, was doing his books. So he's around. He's a very successful illustrator. You can look him up. You can find his works online, samples of them. But what's interesting also is the way in which he left the stage of history. He lived in an apartment home in a hotel. And when he died in 1896, the year that Lockwood's book 1900 came out, Johnson, we are told, dies of this vague brain fever, and nobody knows what the disposition of his remains were. To date, we still haven't been able to find any gravesite for Charles Howard Johnson. It's as if, 'cause he died at home, so there's no mortuary identified. It's as if he disappeared mysteriously as he appeared. And when we looked closer, there were some curious similarities to some time travel literature of the 20th century, the mid to late 20th century. And this, of course, makes us wonder, was Charles Howard Johnson divining the future in some way, using some type of what is popularly called a looking glass technology, or was he himself a time traveler? And had he provided Lockwood with the data about, you know, what would and who would become Donald Trump, et cetera, et cetera? So Johnson is just the complete enigma in this whole story.
Well, you mentioned Charles Johnson, and perhaps his mysterious life, and speculating whether he was a time traveler and he was, in other words, the conduit by which Ingersoll Lockwood received this information. If Charles Johnson traveled to the future and was able to document, you know, all of the events of Donald Trump's life, his election in 2016, the birth of Barron Trump, and so forth, traveled back in time, as strange as this may sound, and provided this information to Ingersoll Lockwood, that is one possible explanation, as fantastical as it might sound. You point to some clues in some of Charles Howard Johnson's other work, in particular, his illustration of the
Lady of Shalott.
The Lady of Shalott, which is an Alfred Tennyson poem. Tell us about his illustration of the Lady of Shalott.
Well, what's interesting, and pardon me for I mispronounce that all the time, Shalott. What's interesting is within the context of the story, she lives in a tower, I believe, and the only way she can see the world outside is through a mirror, and the mirror has a crack running through it. And this, of course, suggested to us, is this some type of synchronicity clue to us that Johnson was using some type of looking glass technology of sorts? And when you get into, he also illustrated a then very popular edition of Evangeline, of course, by Longfellow. And we have connections there thematically with Nicholas Poisson, Rene Le Chateau, Madame de Hautpoul, and of course that leads to Colonel de Hautpoul and Napoleon Bonaparte and all this interesting, you know, further mysterious milieu. And there's Johnson, of course. He's illustrated that. He's illustrated this Lady of Shalott with this mirror. And it's also suggestive of, for instance, we talk about the device that Joseph Smith, of course, who founded the Mormon Church, the Uman and Thuman device, this breastplate with the spectacles on it that, you know, he could allegedly translate these ancient texts. And we explore the whole history of the idea of this, specifically the 20th century history of the idea of this looking glass technology, much of which turns out to be apocryphal tales and turned out to be hoaxes and frauds. So then we have to consider, was there simply some type of divination going on here? And this is what that one simple clue of that cracked mirror and the context in that story, that this is how she, the only way she sees the world. Well, was this Johnson giving a clue as to how he sees through time?
That this some is sort of a reference to Project Looking Glass, in other words, perhaps.
Pardon?
Some sort of a reference to Project Looking Glass, perhaps, this supposed alien technology.
Not specifically, because that is also very much steeped in a very questionable lore. The term looking glass technology has it's a popular go-to because people instantly understand what you're talking about. But as far as Project Looking Glass goes, that's another thing that's just as questionable as Baird Spalding's camera of past events or Father Nettie's chronovisor, which were both admittedly hoaxes. But this would be something more along the lines of some type of ancient technology, perhaps passed down, you know, through the Society Angelique.
You even make a connection to between Charles Howard Johnson and, I believe, the Nazi Bell. Can you flesh that out for us?
I think we talk about the Bell within a different context, because the Bell, there it is. Because we have the Bell, in some of my other research, I have tied the Nazi Bell thread back to what was called the Sonora Aero Club, which is involved in all that 19th century airship mystery. And because the Bell, the Nazi Bell during the World War II era, the lore in that claims that it might have affected time and space in the immediate vicinity of the device, and itself might have provided the Nazi scientists with a way of seeing through time. Now, if my thread tying this back to German inventors and mystery groups of the 19th century is accurate, then that suggests somebody in the 19th century, predating Johnson and Lockwood, had tapped into the ability to, you know, through dabbling with the same thing in a very primitive fashion, of course, because it's 19th century, they might also have tapped into another type of looking glass technology, if you will. So that's the context in which we discuss it, that the possibility that Johnson somehow knew or became aware of, you know, people dabbling with that back in the 19th century.
One of the more remarkable aspects in the book, The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood, again, going back to the illustrator, Charles Howard Johnson, is that you speculate whether or not Johnson may have, as a time traveler, provided inspiration to one of the great science fiction writers, Jack Finney, the author of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, The Third Level, and Time and Again. Can you explain that connection?
Well, this it gets even more wild. In I believe The Third Level, the main character, the time traveler, who of course, just like in Time and Again, travels back in time in New York. His first name, of course, is Charles. That's kind of interesting in itself. But the fact that we have it's the last decade or so of the 19th century, like in Time and Again, the fact that Johnson is living in a hotel, and if I'm not mistaken, the story takes place actually a year before the Dakota existed, but Finney is allowed that, you know, taking liberty with that. That Finney's novel, Time and Again, came out around the time that now it is, we are told that the U.S. Army was experimenting with scientific remote viewing, and we know the stories that they can see through time and all of this. And in Finney's novel, it is an army project that is training time travelers, and their method is doing this with the power of their mind. They use the power of their consciousness. They surround themselves, of course, with the trappings, the environment, the clothing, everything, all the objects of the target year, target period they're going to. And with the power of their mind, they literally transfer themselves to that target time in the past. And the weird way in which Charles Howard Johnson just disappeared from the record, you know, he dies in his apartment, his private environment, and we don't know where he was buried. We don't know anything about a mortuary. This seems to me like it would definitely interest a guy like Jack Finney. And might Jack Finney have learned about the Army scientific remote viewing program, and could the program in Time and Again be his fictionalized account of that? And therefore, we have to ask, might Charles Howard Johnson have not gone from the past into the future to learn about Trump, but is he from our time, and was he in the Army program, and did he go back in time physically? And then when we're told he died, did he just simply return? And that's why his origin back then and his departure back then are so mysterious. When you look at Time and Again and all these things, you have to wonder. It's just oddly resonant. And likewise with Richard Matheson's Somewhere in Time.
Right. We're approaching the bottom of the hour. When we pick it up on the other side, we'll open up the phone lines, take questions and comments. The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood, co-authors Todd Wood and Walter Bosley. And one thing that you do address in the book is if Charles Howard Johnson was, in fact, a time traveler and traveled back to tell Ingersoll Lockwood about Donald Trump and Barron Trump, then why would Ingersoll Lockwood have written books with only sort of obscure suggestions and associations to the future? You know, why would he be writing about Barron Trump's underground journey? Why wouldn't he have written, you know, about actual specific things? So does that suggest perhaps that Charles Howard Johnson didn't reveal much to Lockwood, he just gave him hints?
Or it suggests why we need to look at the other possibilities, because you're absolutely right. We had to explore, because of the Finney material, because of all the things about Johnson, we had to explore and lay out this possibility. But because of the very thing you mentioned, the fact that it's an oblique view of the future that Lockwood offers us, we have to lean towards more some type of divination of the future. And this can be done either through some type of so-called looking glass technology, or it can be done through something called karmic frequency in the numbers and the numerologies of life and stuff like
all
that.
Right. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back, pick up on that point, open up the phone lines as well on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. The mystery surrounding a curious creature that stumped wildlife experts when it was captured in Pennsylvania last month has been solved. The strange saga began last month when Christina Eith spotted a weird animal lingering around outside her residence in the community of Fairfield Township. Feeling sorry for the seemingly distressed creature, The kind-hearted homeowner brought the odd-looking interloper into her basement and phoned an animal rescue organization to take possession of her guest. It was then that things got weird, as workers from the group were left scratching their heads, wondering if the creature was a dog or a coyote. The puzzling nature of the peculiar beast sparked headlines around the world as various theories were offered for what the rescued animal might have been, including some imaginative individuals who suggested that it could be the legendary chupacabra. Although the group took samples of the creature and sent them off for testing in the hopes of solving the mystery, the situation then took an unexpected turn when the enigmatic animal somehow managed to escape their care. Fortunately, fears that there may be a blood-sucking supernatural creature roaming Fairfield Township can be put to rest as rescue workers reportedly received the DNA test results this week and learned that the animal was, in fact, a coyote. Where it might be now, however, remains a mystery. You can read more about this story and see a picture in the highlight carousel up at coasttocoastam.com. This is the story I mentioned in my opening remarks off the top of the show that provide the inspiration for one of our phone-in topics in the second half during open lines, and that would be your encounters with strange-looking creatures. Maybe it looked like a chupacabra, but turned out to be a coyote with mange. Who knows? Your questions and comments for Todd Wood and Walter Bosley, authors of The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood, when Coast to Coast AM continues right after these. And we are back with authors, researchers Todd Wood and Walter Bosley, The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood, and discussing the curious set of novels by Lockwood, which predict the presidency of Donald Trump, even though the books were written before the turn of the 20th century. And if you go to coasttocoastam.com and under tonight's show, just click on the book, The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood. That'll take you to the site where you can pick up a copy at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. But we've linked to it at coasttocoastam.com. All right, let's dive into the calls. We're going to go to a first-time caller. Martin is in Twin Falls, Idaho. Martin, welcome. Good morning.
Hello. First, I have to say what a very interesting show you guys have tonight. I had a question. I had heard a theory about time travel associated with John G. Trump, Donald Trump's uncle. And he was an inventor and a physicist. And he studied at the University of Massachusetts, I believe. And I was just kind of curious if you had an opinion on that or had heard anything like that before.
Mentioned in the book. Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
No, you take it, Walter. You're much better speaker than I am.
No. This whole research came to me through Todd. It was extraordinary, the work that he's done that resulted in these books. Yeah, John Trump, as we know, was the man that the FBI selected to go look at the papers, what's called the secret papers of Nikola Tesla, the day he died. And this, of course, is, you know, just astounding for folks with our, you know, all our combined interests. I mean, of all people that they selected, because he was a well-respected engineer and, you know, of course, associated with MIT. And we discuss him a little bit in the book because there's another possibility for Richard mentioned the bell thread in all of this. When you look at the stuff that Tesla worked on, when you look at the fact that Tesla died in the middle of World War II, 1943, and this was when Nazi Germany scientists were allegedly doing the bell, and there's the whole German connection. We explore the possibility that Donald Trump and his uncle, his father, had a connection to a member of this German group, this mystery group in California, the Sonora Aero Club, that were developing and fooling around with a rudimentary version of the bell in the 1850s. And this is documented in an illustration done
prior to 1923 by, of course, the equally mysterious Charles Delshow. And so John Trump, his very existence in all of this certainly serves to really make us consider the technological possibility of seeing through time in this mystery.
Was Tesla, thank you for the call, Martin, a good one. Was Tesla, do we know whether he was a member of the Titan Club, this secretive organization in New York that Lockwood belonged to?
We don't know for sure. We can only speculate, you know, because Tesla did live in New York for a time, that maybe he had a run-in with Ingersoll Lockwood, or maybe he got representation at some point from the lawyer Ingersoll Lockwood, or maybe his brother, Henry Clay Lockwood. All we can do is speculate at this point.
All right, and let's say hi to...
The Titans could have been, you know, involved with... We're considering that in the current book that we're researching, is Tesla's connection to the Titans.
Right. We should point out that the mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood, this is volume one of what you're calling the Lost Future series. The Lost Future series. Let's say hi to Tom in Riverside, California. Tom, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hello, Richard. Thank you for taking my call. That's a very interesting program tonight. Very good. And I would like to just throw another thing into the mix. Not that
Why
it
not?
Needs any more intrigue. But George Bush is a pet peeve of mine with the assassination of John Kennedy. And, of course, this loosely ties in with history, current history. And he's was a Yale graduate, Rhodes Scholar. I believe Rhodes Scholar. Rhodes Scholar is another thing that Joan Vion, I don't know if you're familiar with Joan Vion, who wrote the Global Straitjacket in the 90s. She's gone now, but she's very incisive on what was going on in this world, and she went to a lot of UN meetings around the world. And anyway, this ties in with kind of that the Titans and that kind of society. And, of course, George Bush's dad was Prescott Bush, tied to Alan Dulles. Alan Dulles tied to the Nazi movement and, you know, well entrenched in that in World War II. So whatever that you can make of that, that's my...
Well, I don't think George Bush was a Rhodes Scholar. He was certainly a member of Skull and Bones, as was his son, George W. Bush. So many presidents and secretaries of state and even Supreme Court judges have been members of Skull and Bones. Walter and Todd, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, indeed. And I think what you find is in any given century, you have the people that emerge as the players and the VIPs and the people in high office. You have their lives overlap in various ways. You know, I think, you know, you could look at something like the Titans, for example, like you could look at the Council on Foreign Relations or the Bohemian Club, and you're going to have all sorts of people crossing paths in these organizations, but yet they would still be in opposition to each other, you know, when it comes to the practical application of what they're about. But certainly, it wouldn't surprise me at all that Prescott Bush, you know, would have crossed paths with some of the very people that are connected and tied to all of this mystery.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call. Let's go to the wild card line. David is trucking in Wyoming. David, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. This caught my interest because y'all started talking about how these guys wrote about Trump, and because I relate everything to the Bible, literally, I want to bring a scriptural, if you will, theory into the concept. In the Bible, we are told that the men were moved by the Holy Ghost to write what they wrote. And now we go to Psalm 90, verse 4. 1,000 years are as but yesterday to our thought, to our Father, to God. So when God, the Holy Ghost, told these guys what to write, they weren't writing what they witnessed. They were writing what they were being told to write, which makes it sound like it's past tense. Now, with these guys that wrote this book, could it be along the same line they were being moved by the Spirit, being told what to write, not seeing in the...
Oh, you're breaking up there a little bit, David, but I think we got the gist of it. So Todd and Walter, do you think it's possible that Ingersoll Lockwood and or Charles Howard Johnson were divinely inspired?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I entertain that possibility. Yeah, definitely. I think we both do. What about you, Walter?
It's either there's divinely and then there's divination, which there's a subtle thing there. I lean towards they divined it, you know, using divination. They either went out there in what's known as karmic frequencies or what others would consider the Akashic record, that kind of thing, but it's a little more specific. I think they used some type of method. Certainly, I would never personally discount the possibility that there was a higher order influencing them and working through them. And the reason we don't have, you know, it as an exact fit between what's in Lockwood's book and what actually happened is because, you know, look at much of the scripture. If it's divinely inspired, it's either metaphor or it's not always exactly, you know, like the book of Revelations, of course. So it's sure, it's very possible that some higher intelligence was moving them to do this. That's
or if it comes down through dreams and visions, again, it gets sort of filtered through the subconscious mind as well.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let's say hi to Chris in San Pedro, California, on the Wild Card Line. Chris, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I love the fact that the connection, it's the same. It sounds like the same with Obama, where he went back in time and supposedly according to Al Bielik, and the same you're sort of implying with this Trump situation, you know, the same sort of it's been determined by other factors from previous time in a way. But I did want to point out that Trump, as far as graduating from Wharton, the dean of Wharton actually came out after that and said in no uncertain terms that he was, well, he took one class and he was the worst student that we ever had. And his sister talked about him being tutored through the rest of graduating at 10. And so he's not a graduate of the Wharton Business School, for one. And we know that he's not much of a reader as far as researching his history there. His dad may have, I'm not saying that it wasn't possible, but the rest of it is a little, you know, off. I see his father being linked with all these things. It's a believable, you know, story, except the fact that Trump was kind of blindly led through it somehow, if it did happen that way.
All right, Chris, appreciate the call in San Pedro. I think we have time for one more. Let's say hi to Ron is in Michigan. Ron, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, the one caller. Hello, can you hear me?
Hi there. Yes, go ahead.
the one caller said this may have been a heavenly inspiration. I see it more as a devil a fulfillment. If we look at the Trump family as what grandfather in the Klondike prostitution and robbery, and then the same thing all the way up to today, his Trump's father, a Nazi connection, and then Trump with swindling and robbery and prostitution. And everything that Trump has brought forth has been devious. It's been destructive.
Yeah, we're not trying to get. We don't want to get political here. The point is to explore some of the more fantastical explanations as to why Ingersoll Lockwood came up with this incredible story that parallels the life of Donald Trump and Barron Trump. But thank you for the call. We don't have a lot of time here, just a couple minutes. But I mean, people have to pick up the book and read for themselves. But you even make connections between Ingersoll Lockwood and Napoleon Bonaparte. You mentioned it earlier. I guess that Lockwood was a diplomat in Europe during the reign of Napoleon III. But was Napoleon the connection here? Was Napoleon Bonaparte some sort of a seer?
I've written about. I've written a book, The Esoteric Napoleon, and I'm presently working on the second volume, and I'm deep into all that research and stuff. But the connection here is that Ingersoll Lockwood, for a number of years, was very involved in a private, personal, and professional relationship with a woman named Margaretta Todd. And she, apparently, allegedly, according to some newspaper reports, had a fling with Napoleon III, and her daughter may have been the daughter of Napoleon III. And so we explore that connection in the second book in this series, The Curious Case of Margaretta Todd. So there is a literal Napoleonic connection here. But to answer your question, yeah, Napoleon Bonaparte, Napoleon I, was not the man that we've been taught in movies and school and TV. That's essentially 200 years of British propaganda.
We'll have to leave it there as a cliffhanger. And people, again, can pick up a copy of The Mystery of Ingersoll Lockwood. We've hooked up the website at coasttocoastam.com. Todd Wood, Walter Bosley, thank you so much. Fascinating read.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
My pleasure. All right. Open lines. Your strange synchronicities and your encounters with unusual-looking creatures. Here's Gary Wright taking us into the break with Our Love is Alive on Coast to Coast AM.